Wednesday night program, we pray. And we just pray that you bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, this time, children are dismissed. Need to put that movie on fast pace, right? No. Exciting. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians, if you would, tonight. Ephesians.
And I'll say that a few more times, real loud. Not that I was trying to be loud, but, you know. But Ephesians chapter 2. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about the grace of God, understanding the grace of God, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. These are very familiar verses. If you're saved for very long, it's a good chance that you know these verses, probably by heart. And I feel like I'm talking really loud. Do I sound loud?
No.
Oh, okay. Not really? Okay, now I'm good. Okay, now I can touch it. All right. You know, you keep fiddling with things, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Okay. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. The Bible says here in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And we think about these verses, our awesome verses. They certainly tell us that we don't have any part into it other than accepting what God, Jesus, has done on the cross, which I love because we don't have to earn our way to heaven. How many religions out there are just really have, if you look closely at what they believe, it's a earn-based, get-to-heaven kind of thing, which is an insult to God because Jesus did everything on the cross that we needed to have done and for us to be saved. So we thank the Lord for that. So we are really, truly, we are saved with victory. The victory of the fact that we don't have to keep anything up other than the fact that we should want to have a relationship with God. But like I say, we have the victory. When Jesus said it was finished, it's a finished thing. We just love that. Pray that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, bless our time. We thank you, God, for your word. I pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, of all the attributes of God expressed towards us, the grace of God may be the most comforting and helpful. Grace is, by its very nature, flows downward. Grace is God acting in favor towards those that deserve his wrath. Grace flows from God in attitude and action. So note, the truth was never more evident than when God became man and dwelt among us. So, some verses that have to do with that is John chapter 1. And I believe that John chapter 1 in the beginning, let's see, let me go ahead and look that up here. John chapter 1. And I was going to quote the first verse, but it's kind of fading away. So, but verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning that was with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And so we see here, it talks about the Word. This is a great chapter here, by the way, for us to read and understand that Word came amongst us. That was Jesus, okay? He was the living Word. And so as we move to verse 14, it's really where I was going to go. I just want to start out with that right there and tell you, listen, this is a good chapter to read, even if you just kick it. Read it a couple times tonight. If you have time, that would be great. Or tomorrow or this week would be great. But it's really a fantastic chapter, as any Bible verse is. But John chapter 1, incredible. So John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we jump to verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by" who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. And so it came by Jesus Christ. Didn't come by anything we brought to the table. It didn't come by church. Church wasn't able to muster anything up towards that. The government wasn't able to give you anything towards that. You know, there's nothing. You know, Jesus looked at a coin. He says, "Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's." When he was talking about money. Look at what image is on there, okay? And we think about man. He was made in the image of who? God, that's right. And he's back to redeem.
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
And he came, and he was going to redeem his image. Okay, he left, and in the fallen nature of Adam in a broken world, and he came to redeem us. What a wonderful God we have, a God that loves us all. And it's a great thing to understand. So we see that God's grace manifested through Christ in a super abundant provision of love for those who depend on him. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. So we think about how he gives us these things. You know, truth be known, I deserve to burn in hell forever. But as we know, God looks ahead in time and says, no, I love John so much that I'm going to go to the cross and die for that person. He's a creation. He's been created. I created him, and I'm buying him back. Amen. Yeah, he's broken. He's got problems. Yeah. Some of you guys, oh, yeah, he's got problems, yeah. But that may be only part of it. But we see that we understand that he buys us back. What a great thing. And he loves all of us. And we need to understand that if we were the only one alive, if we were the only one that needed saving, he would have went to the cross and died for us. And that is something special. That's a great love that he has for us. So as we move along here, we see, number one, the grace of God pardons. We are pardoned from sin's penalty. And so Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves; it is a gift of God." And so we understand that we are pardoned from sin's penalty. When a man believes on Christ, he is pardoned. Now, some people say, you know, I've heard stories, at least, of some people that were pardoned that rejected the pardon. You ever heard of people like that? There was actually a man that rejected a pardon and ended up, I don't know if it was a life in prison or if it was death penalty. He rejected the pardon he got. Somehow, I didn't know you could reject pardons or whatever. But it's an interesting thing. There's also other people that have been set free. Let's say some slaves that have been set free in another country, and they were set free and everything, emancipations and all like that. A lot of people had celebrated and things like that, but some people were never heard that they were set free. So the slave owners said, you know, no, we're going to keep the wraps on this and keep you guys as slaves. You'll never know. You live on a plantation or you're living on this farm or whatever. You're away from everybody. And all only because they didn't hear, they didn't know. That's a sad predicament. That's really a comparison to today when we have the gospel. Amen. And there's somebody out there that doesn't know. Doesn't know because they have not been told. And the devil's working overtime to keep that glorious gospel from getting to people. And so we need to be aware of that. The devil is working overtime to make sure people do not get the gospel. And that means that if we have any hesitation to get the gospel out, that may be very well the devil again, keeping us, intimidating us, whatever it might be. But we need to understand how important it is to get the gospel out and tell people. Because Jesus is the one that can set us free. So we see that in being pardoned is a great thing, being pardoned. We think about the fact that when Jesus completely, he died for our sins and he took care of our debt. And of course, we know, we understand that we need to accept him as Savior. Only by accepting what he has given to us, we understand that we know at that point that we have that gift of eternal life that we're going about to talk more about. But we see Romans 3:24 says this. Romans 3:24, I got to slow down because these guys are watching a movie back here. Yeah. So they're having popcorn too. You guys are going, where's my popcorn? I tell you. All right. Well, we're having a movie night Friday night, so be sure to be here. I don't think we put any 2 cents out on that one, but what time does that start, Friday? 7 o'clock, all right? And I think we're not watching any Avenger movie because it says Avenge Not, or what is it? How does it say? Oh, Marvel Not, that's right. Avenge Not, Marvel Not, you know. Marvel Not. See, we do things biblically around here, right? What? Okay. Anyways, you'll have fun. Be here Friday at 7 p.m. for the movie night. You'll have fun. But anyway, so we see Marvel, Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of that is in Christ Jesus. Notice that, of course, as it says, it's in Christ Jesus. It isn't in anything else you're going to find. It isn't in other things that we would put forth, but it is in Jesus Christ alone. A lot of us, and today We as people sometimes, I don't know about you, but you may have a part of your life you like to complicate. I can't even say that word. Complicate. Some people have a gift of complicating things. It should be easy, but they've complicated it. Sometimes we could do things and, oh, this is how we're going to do it. And it's complicated. You have to have a big list of, well, why don't we go from here to here and here and just make it three things rather than 24 things. You know, keep it simple. You know, someone said, keep it simple, stupid. Or, you know, we need to keep it simple. Simple and sweet. And Jesus did that in the salvation. The gospel is simple. Some people have a problem with that. It's way too simple. Some people that are educated really well, I mean, they would say, wow, I don't know if I accept it. There's just not enough to this. But we need to understand it's God's plan. It's not our plan. Right. And by the way, it works. It works. It's going to get you to heaven when you trust Christ as your Savior. Your confidence in Him is going to be where it needs to be when we have by faith. Understand that. So we see that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So note, salvation is a matter of undeserved favor. We didn't deserve it. And some people might think, well, I deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. You know, we're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all have that sin nature. Jesus Christ did what is needed. So we understand that we think about how the fact that if you must do something to be saved, it is not grace. If you had to do something for it, it's not grace. So we understand that. We need to understand that. Turn to Titus 3, if you would. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. And we see here it says, Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, in this term of hope, this type of hope here is not just like, oh, I hope so. But it's a sure thing. It's a sure hope. Understand. We need to understand that hope is great, but we understand it is a sure hope because it's Jesus Christ we're talking about here. And so it's the Word of God that the Bible here is telling us this, and we need to understand it is a sure hope. And so of eternal life. And so we are justified by His grace, not by anything we bring to the table. And it's by His grace. And when we understand that, it makes we understand what is all at play here. And it's very important that we understand that, is that it's by His grace. And justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So imagine that, heirs. I remember, you know, you've heard of heirs, people that have passed off and they were wealthy. They had billions of dollars, whatever it might be. It was a lot of wealth. And then they pass off the scene. And, of course, the children get probably you have a big will. And sometimes that will can include a lot of different things. I believe that the guy that did McDonald's, I think he willed money to the Salvation Army or something like that. If I heard right, years ago, and I think he willed like a couple $1 billion. And I think all of a sudden, Salvation Army could build their own buildings. They could buy property. They could give more money out. And so I believe it was the guy that was that donated that to them or in his will was is the guy, I don't know if it's Croak or the guy that was with McDonald's. Anyways, he passed away and he had that in his will. And other people that die or pass away and they have a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden, all that money would go to their heirs, their offspring a lot of times. And they would inherit this money. We think about being heirs along with Jesus. Amen. And He shares that with me. You know, I wouldn't expect to be able to be in that position. You know what I'm saying? We just got saved. I didn't deserve it. That's right. And I certainly don't deserve what we're going to be living in or with the Lord Jesus Christ and being heirs. I just, to be able to share that with our Savior for eternity. And the things that He's preparing. He goes to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back for us. What's he preparing? Heaven. Amen. Incredible. And we wonder, wow, that's taking quite a bit of time. There's some special things, special colors, special designs. There's things that we have never seen anything like it before, and that's what we're headed for. So we got some great things to look forward to as Christians, but we need to be really concerned with the fact that we got to make sure that we have it right, and that we know Christ as our Savior, and that we're on our way to heaven, and that we need to be careful to think about others, such as some friends and family that we have that we know that aren't saved. And so we see that he's Titus 3, 5 through 7 is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So that there we go. So that's the complete thing there. That's great. Number B, so we see A, we are pardoned from sin's penalty. We are prepared for service. We are prepared for service. God has something for us to do. And if we had something, if we were tapped on the shoulder by the President of the United States and then he tapped you on the shoulder, or let's say a king or something like that tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, I got something only you could do or only I want you to do, and he taps you on the shoulder, wouldn't that be an honor? Be able to do something for whether it's the president or whether it's a king or whatever it might be. Oh, we have the King of Kings. And he says, I got some stuff for you to do. And so that should be an honor for us to do. And so we understand that we are prepared for service. God does not pardon us or free us so that we can serve self. And so in Ephesians 2:10 of our text, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we are his workmanship. We are, in many ways, I think that we're his crown jewel. He'd like to make us his crown jewel. He'd like to make us into something. And that means that we have to be submitted to what he wants us to do in our lives. And so if we don't submit ourselves, we can't allow him to do anything. He's not going to be able to do anything unless we submit ourselves. And this is an important thing. This is something that we need to do often. This is something we just do one time. I'm submitted. No, with the way things work with our lives, is we a lot of times we pull away from God. We distance ourselves, whether it's a little ways or a long ways, and we need to resubmit ourselves. And then God says, okay, I can get you back on track, get you back on where you need to be. And that's why I say 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where that comes into play a lot of times is, God, I was wrong. I was going on my own way. And, forgive me. And I need to submit to you completely. And then we need to be prepared for his leadership, his direction and guidance. And we need that in our lives. God has a will and a way for our lives. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. There's some good things that God wants us to do. And there's some powerful things that God is going to do in our lives. I can think of many Christians, and it's an interesting thing to look into some Christians as they're serving the Lord in humility and seeing what God does. I remember a missionary that was a missionary in Mexico at the time. This is years ago. I don't even know the guy's name. I can't remember the guy's name even. But I'll never forget the effect or the power of God on him as he would go and he would witness, because he would weep. And I thought, wow, he's weeping. He's really compassionate. He had such a compassion for someone to get saved, and he's weeping. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that would get saved or would come to church because the power of God was on them. And I'm not saying that if you're not weeping, you're not, the power of God isn't on you. But I'm saying the power of God was obviously on this man. And this man was from Mexico, and yeah, he was giving out the gospel. And I'll tell you, the effect was incredible. I looked in on that, and I saw that. And what I'm saying is he was submitted to God. And because he was submitted to God, he was able to see a lot of people get saved. Now, I'll look at other people, too, and you see them submitted to God, and they'll show humility, and they'll do things for people. And maybe they can't afford to do something for that person, but they'll do something out of love, and they can't afford to do it, but they'll do it. And you'll see the power of God working that And you'll see it. You stand outside and you watch that and you go, wow. You know, those are some things that some people could only wish they see. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It'd be great if our church was at a point where, you know, those things are happening like popcorn. I'm thinking of popcorn right now because I'm smelling popcorn. You know, so. But no popcorn for me. But anyways, we see that the power of God needs to move, and we're His workmanship, and God has some good works for us to do, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So we need to be about His business and walking and doing His will. Titus 3:8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, what are good works? We might say, well, I think these are good works. Eating these Twinkies. You know, no, I'm just, you might say Twinkies, we've had Twinkies at our house, but you might say something's good, but it would be what God wants you to do. It's God's leadership, the good works that God wants you to do. Finding the ministries, thinking about the ministries. You know, someone comes to church and they're elderly, they come to church here, and I'm not going to tell you whose name it is, but somebody says, I pray for you. There's actually a few people that say, I pray for everybody here. I pray for everybody here. Well, you know what? That's a good work right there. You're praying for everybody. And that's really a great thing. And understand, so we're doing that. And so we're telling others about Christ. We're inviting others to come to church. Or we're helping other people out. And so those are good works. And we see that the things that God, people of God can do. It's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing, but we need to be careful to maintain good works. And I don't mean to brag on, well, these are good works that everybody's seeing here, or this is why I'm doing them. No, we don't do them for others to see. We do them because we want God to be pleased, okay, and doing what He wants us to do. And so we do these things. And so we understand that it is good and profitable unto men. And it's good and profitable for other people. It'll benefit them. Some people might be able to meet your God and say, oh, I didn't think real love existed today, the love of God. But they'll see it in your life. They'll see it in your church. They'll see it on your neighborhood. There's something different about our neighborhood now. This certain person moved in, and they go to that Bible Baptist church. And they're peculiar, but boy, there's just something different about them. We see Galatians 5:13 says, this, Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so we understand the mindset that we need to have in serving one another in love and how important that is. And so important it is. Dr. Harry Ironside tells of an attempted assassination on the first queen of England. She was caught and brought before the queen. Queen, if I show you grace, what will you promise me? And the woman's grace that hath condition is no grace at all, the queen said. You are right, I pardon you. History states the woman was the most faithful servant from that point on. She deserved death, but she got grace from the queen. And we think about the grace that is bestowed down. We also see the grace that of God purifies us. You know, we live in a very, not very pure world. We live in a very upside down, broken world. We live in a wicked world. And we live lives. We need to understand that God's grace, or the grace of God, purifies us. God's grace purifies our motives. Our motives. What's our motives? Romans chapter 5, verse 21, if you'll turn there. Romans 5:21. Romans 5:21, and it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in chapter 6, jump to chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we understand that it ought to bug us if we're close to God, if we know Christ as our Savior, it ought to bug us if we're in sin. We ought not to feel comfortable in our own skin if we're sinning and we're trying to get close to God. And a lot of times, many of us, we need to get on our knees and get before God and ask for some help with some of the things we might be going through. But we need to get on our knees. And if we fail, get back on our knees and ask God. Get back on our knees and ask God for deliverance, for help. And we understand that it's an important thing for us to understand that God purifies our motives. What's our motive? What's our motive for serving Christ? What's our motive for doing this or that? Whatever we find ourselves doing for the Lord, what's our motives? Let's make sure that they're the right motives. It's to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. What's our motive for coming to church? We can have a lot of different motives. I've even seen people come with motives. They said, they'll say, oh, Amway. By the way, if you're in Amway, it's nothing against you, but I'm just saying that someone had, they sold Amway. So they go to a church and then they try to sell Amway. What's your motive? I'd say those are wrong motives. And so what's your motive for coming to church? And so we need to understand that we need to have the right motives, pure motives. What's your motive for knowing Christ? What's your motive for saying you're saved? Some people say they're saved. They're not saved. They just say they're saved. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Look at this. I got a Bible right here. No, it doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I come to church. Look, I wear a suit. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's what's inside. It's Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen. Are you? Is he inside? Is he, you know? So there's a lot of people out there. Motives have to be right. They need to be right. We as Christians, our motives need to be right. We understand a real understanding of grace frees us from sinful motives. So Romans 6:7 says this. Romans 6:7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And we understand that we have a great understanding today is that, it's good for a person to die to self. Amen. That means you're not going to let yourself, you're going to die to self, let the Spirit of God work and move in your life. You become the living sacrifice. And yourself to death. You die to self. You let the Lord Jesus Christ live through you. And so we need to do that every day. We need to have him live through us. God's grace purifies our ministry. We find ourselves, if you're in the ministry, in whatever ministry you find doing, I don't know, it doesn't matter if it's cleaning our church. Absolutely. It doesn't matter whether it's driving a van. It doesn't matter whether it's driving a bus, teaching a class. And we need to understand that God's grace purifies our ministry. We need to have ministry that is purified by him. We need to have lives that are purified by him. Titus 2:14 says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Wow, zealous of good works. That sounds pretty powerful there. Sounds like you've got some motivation going on. It is. And zealous is, and we understand, peculiar. You're different. You're not like the world. And he's redeemed us from all iniquity there in Titus 2:14. All iniquity. You know, iniquity is an amazing thing. Iniquity is a sin that's, it's not just sin, it's a sin that's repetitive. It's really grooved into your life. And God desires to deliver us from that. And he's got some better plans for us, and he wants us to be zealous unto good works. And so, note, God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live a godly life. Desire that. I remember going to school when I was a young person. I'd get on a regular bus, go to Christian school, and some of the kids in that school were not exactly angels. You know, they didn't have a halo above them, wherever they were. Not the best of kids or whatever, but I remember this girl, she used to say, you're one of those squares. You know, they say all this stuff. You're one of those holy Joes. I mean, she'd say all this stuff. It was like, wow, you got a book of all this stuff you're saying? But she'd say all this stuff, you know, and, it's an incredible thing. But years later, I remember a couple of years later seeing her, and she was totally different. You know what happened? She got saved. She got gloriously saved, and it changed her life. And I'm glad she did. But she could say some stuff about you, and we understand that people are going to be out there. They're going to tell you what they think about you because you're peculiar. You're different. We understand that God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live a godly life, even in the shadow of those that will taunt us and tell us we're somebody else or Holy Joes or whatever. We also understand those who turn God's grace to sinful advantage against God's world law are fooling themselves. So we understand that there are some people out there and they're going to turn God's grace into a sinful advantage, but they're fooling themselves. The Bible says, I'm trying to think of that verse, about sowing and reaping. What's that verse? You sow what you reap, right? You reap what you sow. There you go. You reap what you sow. That's it. And you know what happens with reaping and sowing? You reap more than you sow, and you reap. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's powerful. So we need to understand that you're only fooling yourself if you're trying to be somebody you're not. We need God's help to overturn sin in the sin. In the sin-laced world. We also see the grace of God preserves. So we're all moving along here. God's grace preserves. Nothing like good preserved stuff. You ever had preserved peaches and things like that? And I'm telling you, some of these people, that's a lost art. The only thing preserved we get is from the grocery store, right? I don't know if anybody here preserves stuff, but we have preserved peaches, preserved all kinds of different things you can preserve. And some of those things, if you do it just right, it really comes out nice, if you as far as bottling and stuff like that. But we understand that the grace of God preserves. God's grace creates a peaceful inner disposition within a Christian through difficult times. Number A, we are preserved through pain. Oh, that's not, I don't like to hear about that. We are preserved through pain. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says this: "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure," Paul said. "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." And so in verse 9 it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I watched a video about a man that he's a very helpful, powerful preacher. And he's in a strait right now. I mean, he's got some big physical problems. He's had strokes, and he's died twice, and they brought him back, and he's still living. He's still around. But he believes that he's around, and God has put him in that place for a reason. And he says, "I'm still here for a reason." And he believes that with what God is doing there, he's seeing it as a strength, that God is going to do something in this man's life. So we see that today, sometimes you might find yourself with an ailment. You go, "Wow, what can I do? What can I do?" Even we see some of these, we see these saints that are older of sorts that... they go, "Oh, what can we do?" And they'll start praying. I remember there was a church that was started years ago in Ohio. And these two old ladies would pray and pray and pray, "Please, God, send us a Baptist minister." They lived in a town, and Catholicism was everywhere and everything else like that. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. These ladies did. That's all they could do, is they prayed. And come to find out later, God would send a man. And that man would end up starting a church. And the amazing stories that would happen with that church is an amazing thing. I could go on and on with the stories that would happen. But God used this man to get out the gospel out there. And many people were saved through many different stories. Many people were saved. Doctors, nurses, policemen, even criminals. All kinds of people were saved. And they were saved, and this church began to grow. In a town of 2,000, this church all of a sudden blossomed and grew and grew and grew until it was about 2,000. They ran as many people as they had in the town. Of course, the people from outside the town came in. But we understand that God did an amazing thing. And this preacher said, "You know what? I'm here to tell you that it was because of these two old ladies." They never got to go to that church, but he heard about them, and he says, "It's because of those ladies that I'm here." God heard their prayers, and it's amazing. Don't underestimate what prayer does. I think we as Christians, we underestimate what prayer does, but understand that we need to pray. We need to understand that God has grace. He preserves us, and We understand that within whatever God puts before us, we need to look for God's grace. We need God for God's strength, for his help. No, God is not attracted to our strength. We think of Saul, King Saul, and he was the king before King David. King Saul was a big guy. Oh, everybody liked King Saul. Look at man, he's above everybody. He's walking along, man. He's a big guy, and he looks like he can take care of business. Yeah, we want him as king. But eventually, God ended up saying, you know, I don't look on the outward of the man. I look at the inward of the man. And he eventually rejected Saul because Saul didn't obey God. And eventually, a little runny-nosed kid named David, the run of his whole family, the littlest of his own family, the guy that never, he ended up being the one that would become king. You know, God uses the small things to confound the wise. God isn't interested in the biggest, the mightiest, whatever. He's interested in the heart. Now, if he ended up being the biggest and the best, whatever, and you have a heart for God, praise the Lord. Amen. But understand that he's looking at our hearts. He's looking for that. So he's not looking for strength. No, God could have healed Paul. Instead, he gave him grace to help. And so God gave him grace to help. Oh, we need God's grace. That's why it's important for us to understand that. Pray for people to have grace. We need to pray for his grace. And so often in our lives, I think we don't have certain things simply because, just like the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You go through the fire. Wow, I could have had God's grace in that. I should have asked for God's grace. I'm so glad. I remember one time I came back on visitation one time years ago. I was a bus director. I was with my bus captain. We were in my truck, my little pickup truck, and we were coming back to get something from my house, and then we were going to go back a certain different way. Anyways, I was trying to turn around in my yard, and I put it in reverse, and all of a sudden, my transmission got stuck. And I was getting so upset. I was going, oh, I can't believe this got stuck and all that. And then Brother Bob, he goes, hey, Brother John, why don't we pray? Well, yeah, okay, let's pray. It's amazing how, like, sometimes we're like, that's the last thing we do is pray. So we prayed, and all of a sudden it got unstuck. Imagine that. And sometimes it's the last thing, and then sometimes someone comes along and tells us, reminds us, hey, why don't we pray? Praise the Lord for those that step in and say, hey, well, why don't we pray? God would do something if we prayed sometimes. Charles Spurgeon said, I am afraid that all of the grace that I have gotten out of my comfortable and easy times might lie on a penny, but the good that I have received of my sorrows and pains cannot be measured. Affliction is the best book in my library. That's what Spurgeon said, great preacher of God's word. And we understand that he understood about sorrow. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal life, unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We understand that God can do some things, even in our pain, even in our suffering. Amen. Even in our suffering, God can do some things. And I think today we need to make sure that we understand that's there, that we're putting that to play. And even in whatever way we find ourselves suffering, that we're looking to God, we're looking to him. We also see that not only are number A, we are preserved through pain, but we are preserved by prayer. We talked a little bit about prayer there also, but we see that Hebrews 4:16, and we're almost done. But look at this, Hebrews 4:16, if you would. We are preserved by prayer, number B, Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know, it's an amazing thing how God lays out his scripture. If we look at these words, we come boldly. How can we come boldly? We come boldly because through Jesus Christ. Because we're always praying in Jesus Christ. He is the one we're coming through with, is Jesus Christ. We understand that we can come before God, and he's our mediator between us and God. And that's a great thing to have. We don't ever have to look around. Where's my mediator? oh, I got to have my mediator. He's always there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And so we need to look for him. We need to go through to the throne of grace and with boldness. Now, because what we have in Jesus Christ, as far as salvation is concerned, we now have access to the throne. We understand that many thrones in the past, big, huge thrones, big, huge empires, if somebody came into that throne room uninvited, if the king did not allow that person to come forward and that person came forward, that person would no doubt be put to death. And many times, if that happened, that person could be put to death. And that's how serious that would be. Well, we're talking about the throne of thrones, the King of Kings. We're not talking about some earthly throne here. We're talking about a heavenly throne. And so we need to understand that God loves us so much, and we're part of his plan, and we're part of his throne, and we come before him boldly to obtain mercy and find grace. Maybe you're going to find mercy and grace for somebody else. I need to. It's urgent. We're going to find mercy. We're going to find grace. We're going to come before that throne. We're going to find these things to help in time of need. In time of need. Note, perhaps you have a burden today. Seek God's grace through prayer. We see today, conclusion, we all need God's grace. And because grace flows downward, we can all receive God's grace. Some need grace to pardon, grace to purify, grace to preserve. We need God to preserve us, don't we? I tell you what, if you get out in the sun too long, you're going to get burnt. You know what I mean? Out here in the desert, at least, or maybe at the ocean, things like that. But we need to be preserved. God needs to preserve us. He needs to shelter us. And he desires to do that. You know, it's when we step out of the umbrella of God's protection, that's when we get hammered. You know, when you step out of the umbrella of God's protection of this church, or you step out under the God's protection underneath your family or those that God has put over you, then, man, we get hammered. And but we need God's grace. We need to obey and do God's will. So let me encourage you to do that this Wednesday night. Let's go ahead and pray.